Two Montana men recently had their murder convictions overturned thanks to the work of a Boise State professor. Greg Hampikian is the director of the Idaho Innocence Project and has analyzed the DNA in several high-profile crime cases, including the Amanda Knox case in Italy. He's been working with the Montana Innocence Project for 4 years on the case of Fred Lawrence and Paul Jenkins. They were serving life sentences for robbery, kidnapping, and homicide in the 1994 death of Donna Meagher. DNA evidence from his lab has overturned the conviction of these two men and pointed the finger at another man currently serving time for two separate murders. Greg joins me in studio today to talk about the case and his work with the Innocence Project. Greg, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Greg, first off, tell me about this case and how you got involved with it.
So it was 2014. I started working on this with the Montana Innocence Project. We have a long history. Actually, one of their sponsors helped start us before there was a Montana Innocence Project. So we used to do cases in Montana. And so we've continued to do DNA work for them. And then I obtained a federal grant in 2016 from the Department of Justice, National Institute of Justice, to work on this type of DNA case. So we first started in 2014, got the grant 2016, and were able to complete our analysis from that grant.
And describe the case for me. If I'm correct, Donna Meagher was working at the Jackson Creek Saloon near Montana City on January 11th of 1994. She disappeared, and her body was found the next day. So then what happened next?
Well, when the body was recovered, evidence was collected, a lot of evidence properly collected. She had been tied with a bunch of small twine-like pieces of rope that had been knotted together as if somebody was saving fragments of rope. And beside or not far from her body by the roadside where she was found, there was another piece of rope that had blood on it that was of similar type. And then fingernails, et cetera, as in a normal homicide were collected. So there was a lot of evidence. There were no DNA results when we got on the case.
And you got on the case. So this happened in 1994. You got on the case in 2014.
14.
So 20 years, if I'm doing the math right.
Yeah, these poor guys were in prison really with no chance of getting out until Montana, the Montana Innocence Project that does great work, the lawyers over there, took the case. They called me. We did an inventory of the evidence. We went back and forth what should be tested. And, I remember the nails and the rope beside the road that had the blood on it were things we were particularly interested in. Also, the rope she was tied with, because the theory was it seemed that they were wearing gloves when they robbed the casino. But if they had tied, or the person had tied, those fine knots, probably would have taken off their gloves, or if they were plastic or rubber gloves, could have ripped them. So we were interested in that. Turned out the DNA that was recovered that was most probative was from that piece of rope by the side of the road, had the victim's blood on it, and a mixture with a male. And, it was just mind-blowing because we put these affidavits together saying maybe one of these pieces will have male DNA. Yeah,
maybe there will be something.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it'll be one person or a clear profile. Maybe it'll be suitable to compare to a database. Maybe there'll be someone. Maybe they're already incarcerated for a similar crime. And that's like, the perfect scenario to tie this all together.
Right, right.
And it happened.
Which has got to be pretty incredible.
It's rare and incredible, yeah.
So was there any physical evidence then that tied Freddie Joe Lawrence and Paul Kenneth Jenkins to the murder of Donna Meagher?
I didn't review all of the evidence.
Okay.
So I apologize. My understanding is there was not, and there still is not. Not only that, the hit to the database to Mr. Nelson, who is serving for confessing to a similar crime, killing someone with a hammer and the woman's son, there's no connection. The states look for a connection between the two men who serve time and the man whose DNA is on that rope. There is no connection. No one's found.
No DNA evidence linking the
No DNA, two. No, records that they knew each other, nothing.
We're speaking with Greg Hampikian, the director of the Idaho Innocence Project. We would like to hear from you. If you have questions about the Innocence Project, You can get on to email and email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. You can also tweet us, KBSX91.5, hashtag Idaho Matters, or go to our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. So where does this case go from here? Are Freddie Lawrence and Paul Jenkins still in jail?
No. And I was just checking before I walked in to see what's going on. So they were released. The state has put conditions on them, you know, can't drink, you know, all the normal conditions, mm-hmm. no firearms. And the state has to decide, because Judge Seeley threw out the conviction, if they're going to retry them for this crime.
That was my next question.
Yeah. I'm not aware that they've decided to retry them. I think it's kind of ludicrous they have a DNA hit to someone else. The state has admitted, oh, he's also a suspect in this case.
So how does this...
It's a little late.
So how in the world for 20 years were these two men behind bars mm-hmm. for a case that there was no DNA evidence? Mm-hmm. When the DNA evidence tested, there's a hit for another person. I mean, there is – it's not a, oh, this isn't them.
Right.
It's a, this is
– this isn't them. There's none of them there on
right.
anything, on
right.
any of the evidence tested.
How
and there's a hit to a confessed killer who kills people with a hammer.
And is
and
already
poor
in
girl
prison.
Was killed with a hammer.
Oh, she was. And already
yeah.
in prison serving for
yeah.
these two murders.
That's right.
How in the world did we get to this point where you had to be brought mm-hmm. in?
So I'm not speaking for anyone in the innocence movement or anything. I think everybody goes to work trying to do a good day's work. And I think training is generally the problem. We can't train people any better than we know how to train them. So the science of the day, the investigation techniques of the day, what the state had in this case that I know of was testimony from people who said that they told them they had committed the crime. Two of them were from one of the guy's families. And they got a reward, as I understand. Now, this is all things, you know, I learned as mm-hmm. I heard the case discussed afterwards. So there was testimony that they said they did it. There was also later at the hearing there I was, there was a snitch, somebody who said he bunked with one of the men for 6 months and the guy confessed everything. And then the defense for Jenkins and Lawrence said, oh, well, are you aware we have the records from the prison and nobody bunked together during that period and that you weren't even on the same cell block for more than 8 days? So he was completely discredited in my view. I think the court decided similarly that there was no credible evidence mm-hmm. whatsoever that these guys were involved. And I don't know if that's what the judge just vacated the conviction, but to me it was clear.
So explain then, since the judge vacated the conviction, mm-hmm. it sounds almost in a way that they're on some type of probation, like no alcohol, no
yeah,
firearms.
Similar.
Why would that be if this conviction is vacated?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't.
That's a question for the judge.
I wouldn't
then.
Put any restrictions
okay.
on
that's
these
a question
guys.
For the judge. We
that's
have to
the
ask
judge.
That.
But that's not atypical. I think there was some back and forth. People saying, "Well, this is ridiculous. Why should you settle this, fight this?" But I think the two men, you know, one in his 60s, one in his 50s, were anxious to go home. Mm. The details of not being able to drink or have a firearm didn't
at
seem
at least
to,
at home.
Yeah.
Right. So what about the man linked to the DNA that you found, David Nelson correct?
Mm-hmm.
So does he face a trial now?
He could. The state has said he's a suspect, and they've got to decide what to do. I mean, he's already in for two murders, two homicides. You know, one of the remarkable witnesses was Nelson's nephew, who I listened to his testimony, and he said, you know, he had gotten in trouble with the law that his uncle was grooming him for life in crime, bragged about all these things he did, and they got in trouble. Part of the release for this young nephew was he had to write out everything he did, give it to the warden, and he wrote, my uncle said, he robbed the casino, took this woman somewhere else and killed her. Nothing was done about that, according to his testimony. 2005, he goes back to the police, or he's involved with the police in some mm-hmm. way. He says, I told them about my uncle. He says two innocent guys are serving for that crime outside
wow.
of Helena, where he killed that woman outside of, you know, from the casino.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was done. And the attorney general has uncovered record of that conversation. 2016, I believe it's 16 or 15. He goes again. Have you
so
done
the
anything?
Third time. Yeah. And by the way, 10 years have passed.
So I just don't get why somebody didn't look into this a little more carefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not my job. And as I say, I believe, you know, everybody goes to work trying to do a good day. There are also C students in every field, right? And not everybody's going to do the best job. But I don't really know what went wrong, except they didn't follow up on those leads. They had false witnesses. That's all going to be part of, mm-hmm. you know, an investigation, I hope.
So if people aren't aware of the Idaho Innocence Project, mm-hmm. quickly tell us about what that is and the kind of work that you do.
Sure. And I have to be careful, because this was not done under the auspices of the Idaho Innocence Project. This was done under a Department of Justice grant to me at Boise State. And the reason for that distinction is that our Attorney General, Lawrence Wasdin, will not sign a paper that says that Idaho takes reasonable efforts to collect and preserve biological evidence in murder and forcible rape. Because he won't sign that, certify that, I cannot spend my Department of Justice money on Idaho cases. So
really?
We are doing cases, but that money is coming from elsewhere and there's not much of it. This $680,000 grant I cannot use on Idaho cases, and I shouldn't call it the Idaho Innocence Project because it's outside Idaho. To me, it's all just DNA work, but I want to be careful of how I say all
right.
of this, because there's a lot of money involved.
That is fascinating. Well, I need to let you go. I'm getting the wrap. That is Greg Hampikian, the director of the Idaho Innocence Project at Boise State University. Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.